broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. We are live 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 2 hours a day. News the networks refuse to use, always on tap. And as you know, on the Sabbath, we take a quick break and rest. LovingLiberty.net, our nationally syndicated radio network. LibertyRoundtable.com, our website. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. A quick look back at Wednesday's show. On Thursday, I had a work schedule that I just couldn't handle, so I had to do a rebroadcast. But on Wednesday, we had our guest on, James Edwards, with us, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And we talked about Oath Keeper's website got shut down with the riots. Yeah, they say Oath Keeper's was right at the center of that whole fiasco, folks. And they were there, but it isn't as you were told. You ought to listen to yesterday's broadcast, Friday's broadcast, because we had Stuart on, and he broke things down from his perspective in detail. Sam and James break down the Biden inauguration. Quote, a peaceful transfer of power, huh? Facebook bans Trump. Candace Owens sues fact checkers. Second hour, we talked about Sam Bushman will not deny the Christ. So we talked about the importance of that. We talked about Inauguration Day, Under God, One Nation. Craig DeRoche wrote the piece for the Anti-Policy Alliance. For the Family Policy Alliance. Wow. Family Policy Alliance. We also talked about Donald Trump's farewell address. The movement we started is only beginning. All right, we'll keep an eye on that ball for you. Will Trump create a new political third party? The name of the party would be the Patriot Party. Wall Street Journal reporting that. Biden to sign a dozen executive orders on day one in office. But you know what? Wow, did he sign more than that? 30 executive orders within 48 hours. We'll get to that in seconds. Biden plan gives 11 million a path to U.S. citizenship. Thousands marching in migrant caravan, trying to demand the Biden administration keep its promises and let them in. Yeah, man, somebody's knocking at the door. Somebody's ringing the bell, that's for sure. Dumped Sidney Powell. Sad to say, she releases her Kraken lawsuit. She dropped her legal action less than 24 hours before Biden inauguration. Joe Kovacs. Yeah, I don't know why Sidney Powell voluntarily dropped her lawsuit, but she did. Clinton and Pelosi are now floating a conspiracy theory that Trump and Putin are working together for the riots and everything else. The mob would fed lies. McConnell turns on Trump. Trump provoked Capitol riot, says McConnell. Shame on McConnell. Twitter won't let Joe Biden inherit Trump's millions of followers. The Biden team's mad about that. Climate Nerve Center in Biden White House. Yeah, Biden will bring with him the largest team of climate change experts ever in the White House. Spike Lee compares Trump voters to Nazis and slave owners, American update. NRA files for bankruptcy, tries to move to Texas. We'll keep an eye on that ball, see how it all goes. That was Wednesday's show. Still available at lovingliberty.net and libertyroundtable.com. Friday's show, we had on Stuart Rhodes, president and founder of OathKeepers.org. By the way, the Oath Keepers website's back up. It's great news. Now, here's the interesting thing. Listen carefully to these headlines. Fake news. FBI chases masterminds of riot plots. The New York Times. Yeah, believe it or not, a criminal complaint filed alleges conspiracy and other crimes against three members of the Oath Keepers. They say the three have been arrested. They communicated on Facebook. They say somebody was in the mix from the inside, egging them on and providing information and details of where the legislators were so they could try to find legislators, etc. Now, the FBI, though, alleges these things. Well, it turns out to be completely bogus. Let me lay it out for you. So the FBI and the government claims there was three Oath Keepers there. Turns out that Thomas Caldwell of Virginia and Donovan Crowell of Ohio, they're not even members of Oath Keepers, ladies and gentlemen. Did you hear me? So the FBI says they have three Oath Keeper members, but Stuart Rose looked through the records of Oath Keepers and says, look, these two, Donald Crowell and Thomas Caldwell, we don't even know these guys, and they're not Oath Keepers at all. Furthermore, the third person is an Oath Keeper. Her name is Jessica. Let's see. Jessica Watkins. She is a member. But you know what? She deserves the due process of law, and she's innocent until proven guilty, number one. And she might have done some of the things. She did go into the Capitol, et cetera, et cetera. No one's denying that. But what Stuart says is she's not in leadership of the Oath Keepers at all. And she's actually the leader of her own militia. So anybody can become a member of the Oath Keepers. All you got to do is go to oathkeepers.org. They'll start vetting people harder now because of the abuse. But turns out two of the three were not even Oath Keepers. One of them is certainly not high level and has their own militia group and not a decision maker in Oath Keepers at all. So Stuart Rhodes says prosecute to the fullest extent of the law those people responsible, including whoever. But let's be honest and not throw our people under the bus. And let's give people the benefit of the doubt and find out what really happened and make sure people are innocent until proven guilty. Stuart Rhodes says we need to organize now and for the future and not fall into false flags. They're traps that further the enemy's goals, ladies and gentlemen. We need to be very careful indeed. Prepare for comms down. That means communications down and lights out, he says. That was hour one with Stuart Rhodes. Hour two, we had Dr. Scott Bradley with me to preserve the nation. We talked about Joe Biden and his intellectually dishonest call for unity. Sam Bushman and Richard Mack are creating a website. It's not up yet, but it's called callforcivility.com. I want to reject unity, and I want to stand on the civility idea. Unity means you got to go along with murdering babies, abortion like Joe Biden. Murdering babies, I'm not willing to go along with. I'm not unified. I'm not united on that at all. Same thing with this idea that we're going to create these domestic terrorists. I agree we need to stop terrorism everywhere. But what is a domestic terrorist? Is that somebody that believes that the election was a fraud? I do believe the election was a fraud. Anthony Fauci, for example, says Joe Biden will revoke the Mexico City policy. Yeah, that's where we, you know, fund abortions around the world, international abortions funded by our tax dollars. All right, Joe wants to, you know, jettison that. He wants to revoke the Mexico City policy. I'm not united on that. I disagree with him. I can be polite and civil about my disagreement, but I'm telling you, I'll never agree. Abortion, by the way, would be classified as murder under a new Mississippi bill introduced into the state's legislature, and I do agree, abortion is murder. Mississippi's right, this lawmaker's right on this issue. Good for him, right? His name is Dan Eubanks, putting together this legislation. Good for him. Leo Terrell questioned on Thursday's Fox program, where's the outrage over all the violent protests that took place in Portland, Seattle, and Denver? You know what? How come everybody's not raging about that? I mean, they're raging about the Capitol. And then the hosts are saying, well, it's different. The, you know, the Capitol's, you know, that's for our leaders. And, you know, Terrell's like, what? Are you talking about we have different classes of people? It's exactly the same. When you destroy property and create violence anywhere, it's wrong and it needs to stop. Why the double standard was the point. Great point. Amen. All right, with that, that's the recap of two previous shows available at lovingliberty.net and libertyroundtable.com. Spread the word, tell your neighbor, and donate liberally today, would you please? All right, we have two guests on. First guest, Eldon Stahl, is with us. He is the new man for our area, for the John Birch Society. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, my friend.
Thank you, Sam. Glad to be here.
All right, that summary, any quick comments on that summary? 2 days of broadcasting there.
Well, I know we're getting a little bit into election integrity and about the executive orders that that Biden is doing. A lot of them seem like they're trying to overturn what Trump had done.
Yeah, they're doing that for sure. What do you think about that Stuart Rhodes thing? They're literally trying to take down the Oath Keepers, and two out of the three weren't even Oath Keepers.
Yeah, that's really shameful that they try to do stuff like that.
And by the way, did anybody tell you that? Did anybody get the word straight from Stuart Rhodes or straight from the Oath Keeper leadership, and two out of the three aren't even Oath Keepers? Did anybody tell you that piece?
Yeah, I hadn't heard that, but you know, that's one thing that we've encouraged our members to, with the John Birch Society, to avoid doing kind of, you might say, demonstrations and things like that as far as tactics, because that we know from the past study that a lot of these nefarious groups, including the communists, tried to infiltrate them and then take them into violent things. It only takes a few of them to do that, and they're trained well to do that.
And the proven point is right before our very eyes, a.k.a. January the 6th. Eldon Stahl with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's field coordinator for the John Birch Society, JBS.org. I've also got the good sheriff, Richard Mack, with me, CSPOA.org, and he's on the road right now. Hi, Sheriff.
Hey, Sam, it's great to be with you this beautiful Saturday morning.
Amen to that. You're on the road, right? Where are you?
I'm in Yakima, Washington.
Yakima.
And we had a great meeting yesterday with Sheriff Songer of Clickitat County, and then another sheriff came by with his undersheriff, and they both spoke, and it was a great meeting.
All right, we got a great show coming up. Great meetings and details. Sheriff Mack with us, Eldon Stahl with us. 48 hours. We'll talk about it.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, my headline is this: Biden went berserk. Oh, yeah. Biden's executive orders, about 30 of them in 48 hours. Eat at Trump's legacy is the headline. And the list of Trump's initiatives that have been rolled back through Biden executive orders are legion, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, they're saying that they don't even know if Trump realizes how temporary executive orders can be. Trump thought he could create a legacy, but you know what? In 48 hours, really a significant portion of what Trump tried to accomplish got shut down by Biden, and Biden's at it with a flurry. Let's start with Sheriff Richard Mack on this one. What do you say to that, Sheriff? I mean, he is going hog wild on, in my opinion, unconstitutional executive orders. And we criticize Trump for the same thing, by the way.
Yeah, we have. And that's the problem with executive orders in general. They're easily granted and they're easily taken away. And they're wrong. The only place that a president can issue executive orders is one that he did. And that's that Biden has now made it mandatory to wear a mask on federal property. That is where the president can, as CEO and director of federal rules and regulations for federal employees, he can do that. All the rest, Trump wasn't supposed to do them, and Biden isn't supposed to be doing them either. So it becomes a political football between presidential executive orders of what they're not supposed to be doing.
Now, I believe executive orders were designed to let the president, you know, make small, you know, legitimate, detailed changes within his own administration. They were never intended to clash with the legislative body and make or manipulate or change law. What happens if you're not very careful and you make executive orders as the president? Instead of running your own internal departmental affairs as the executive branch, what you do is you violate and steal authority from not only the legislative body, but the judicial bodies as well. And I find it very constitutionally problematic. But they've been doing it for decades. What happens is conservatives, when an executive order does something they like, they applaud it. And I understand to some degree, if that's the only way you can get something done, you're going, well, at least something's done. I understand. But constitutionally, Eldon Stahl, it's a nightmare, sir.
Yeah, basically it converts gradually the president into a king or dictator. We don't want that. That's something that is, you know, we fought a war to get out of, literally. And the history of kings in the in Europe and many countries is not very pretty, is it? So, yeah, executive orders, they can apply according to law already established to govern executive agencies, departments, things like that, that are created. But they are not something that would be should be used as a decree to affect you and me, the average person who doesn't work for the federal government. So that's you know, an abuse of that.
All right, there you have it. Now, there's so many things he's done. Let me give you kind of an idea. He's got 30 executive orders in 48 hours, and here's what he's done. He's rolled back, all right, restoring the country's commitment to funding the World Health Organization. So he restored funding to the WTO, or WHO, the WHO. He rejoined the Paris Climate Accords, reversing Trump's ban on immigration from several predominantly Muslim countries. He halted immigration enforcement relating to the country's interior. He shut down the funding of the border wall. He ensures protections for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender workers. They say undermined by Trump appointees. So he killed the Keystone Pipeline in the permit there. He reimposed the ban on drilling in the Arctic Wildlife Refuge. He put new ethics rule or opposed new ethics rules, tossed out Trump's 1776 commission report. All I can tell you is this thing is massive. What he's done, it's hard to know where we stand. I mean, we make law and break law and everything else. In my opinion, it's probably like both presidents should be arrested with all their making laws and determining the outcome of laws. And I mean, the executive branch really breaches the legislative and the judicial bodies big time. How come they're not up in arms, Eldon?
Well, you know, back in the progressive era, back in the early 20th century, the selling point for this was, let's create all these agencies, and this was done at the state level too. And they said, well, this will be more efficient. This will be so much better than just the arduous, inefficient task of going through the legislative process and all this, right? And now we've gotten to the point where we find that you know, efficient doesn't necessarily mean better government. The most efficient government is probably the guillotine, right? That's very efficient, but not exactly a good protector of our liberties, is it? So, you know, that's what's been going on here, but of course, by degrees. And little by little, we've had more and more regulation outside of the judicial, outside of the legislative process, and we've taken the brunt of that burden over time.
All right, Sheriff, what do you say? I say that the president has no authority, whether it be Biden or Trump, both of them, in my opinion, used executive orders violating the separation of powers, really bordering on criminal activity, both of them. They don't have the authority to make law or interpret law.
Yeah, that's correct, and Ellen's absolutely correct. And this has been, I guess, watered down. And the lines between the legislative branch and the executive branch have been watered down to where you can't even recognize the separations anymore. And Obama was probably the best one at it. Well, if the legislature won't cooperate with me, then I'll just go over their head and make executive orders. He's not a legislator, and it's really something else, because right after the preamble, the United States Constitution starts with all legislative power is vested in a Congress consisting of the Senate and the House of Representatives. All 100% of laws can only be made by the legislative branch, period. But again, we see how both Democrats and Republicans really don't care what the Constitution says, and neither one of them follow it. And by the way, along with this same topic, I've got a paragraph to read out of the Christian Science Monitor whenever you get a chance.
Okay, we'll do that in just a second. For Eldon, quickly, though, you know, I'm criticizing what the presidents are doing. I'm telling you that it borders on criminal activity because they violate their oath of office when they obliterate or erase the separation of powers via the branches of government, legislative, judicial, executive. But they also violate states and states' rights. So you got vertical and horizontal divisions of power intentionally to protect the people from government getting too powerful. Bill Clinton tried to abuse his authority, reach into the local state and county levels. And, they ran into Richard Mack, and the good Sheriff Mack and Billy yep. Bob Clinton rolled to the Supreme Court, and Bill was going to arrest the good sheriff. And the sheriff said, I don't think so. And, well, anyway, Sheriff Mack beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court. But this is where we need people to stand up. However, Eldon, we need people to understand when they stand up, to do so in an educated manner. What everybody wants to do now is blame it on the Constitution, push for a con or seceding from the Union, or, I mean, we can go on and on and on what they propose. None of them propose the things that I'm proposing, which is, hey, hold the president accountable if that's what he's doing. Hold the legislative bodies accountable if that's what they're doing. Hold the courts. There are ways to deal with the abuse of powers, and it isn't go to, incendiary, blow up the whole thing levels?
Right. And, you know, one of the ways, of course, in retrospect, it's easier to say this, but to avoid the abuse of power is don't give people a power that is easily abused. So that's, you know, one thing. But part of that is educating people as to why it's important that only the legislative branch, the people that we directly elect, that's easy to throw out relatively every several years, why it's important to only give them the power over their purse or power to declare war or power to make laws over us, rather than a president of the United States who is much more similar to a king or an oligarchy in the judiciary.
Sad tale, true story. Continued breakdown on Liberty Roundtable Live. The good sheriff from the road, Richard Mack, with us. The Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. And we've got our buddy Eldon Stahl with us, John Birch Society, JBS.org, in seconds.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA Radio News.
Legendary broadcaster Larry King has died. The 87-year-old hospitalized last month after getting the coronavirus. No cause of death revealed. The Larry King Show aired on CNN from 1985 to 2010. Democrats may once again come up short in their efforts to convict President Trump. It would take 17 Republican senators to join all 50 Democrats to convict Trump in his upcoming impeachment trial, but CNN reports only a handful of GOP senators may do so. Some say holding an impeachment trial for a former president is unconstitutional. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer responding yesterday.
Now, I've heard some of my Republican colleagues argue that this trial would be unconstitutional because Donald Trump is no longer in office. An argument that has been roundly repudiated, debunked by hundreds of constitutional scholars, left, right, and center, and defies basic common sense.
The trial is set to start February 9th. This is USA Radio News.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The president targeting the poor in his latest COVID relief actions. President Biden yesterday signing two executive orders, one expanding food assistance, the other calling for stimulus checks for those who don't make enough to file taxes. He says his relief plan will get us back on track quicker.
With our American Rescue Plan, our economy would return to full employment a full year faster than without the plan.
Biden adds how we respond to this crisis is a reflection of our values, and we have to act now. Biden also sharing a grim COVID forecast yesterday. He says the U.S. could have another 200,000 COVID deaths over the next few months. That would bring our death toll to over 600,000. Biden adds there's nothing we can do to change the trajectory of the pandemic in the next several months. Meanwhile, a key member of President Trump's COVID task force revealing the toll the job took on her. Dr. Deborah Birx tells CBS she always thought of quitting. Birx recently retired, but she says she's willing to help the Biden administration if needed. The full interview will air tomorrow in Face the Nation. This is USA Radio News.
All right, Eldon Stahl, Richard Mack, yours truly on your radio. Biden's unconstitutional executive orders, 30 of them in 48 hours, ladies and gentlemen. But before you get all bundled up and confused, hey, I'm telling you that Donald Trump's executive orders were wrong also. There's never a plan constitutionally for executive orders to, you know what, create and interpret and make and whatever law you want and then abolish it in a whim. So the idea that the one president could put all this stuff in place and then another president could literally destroy it all in 2 days, that was never the intent of the founders. And we're literally allowing these branches of government to obliterate the separation of powers and chip away at the separation of powers to the point where now I don't even know who's really criticizing it and speaking out against it but me. Now, there's organizations that have for a long time, JBS, John Birch Society, and others. They've done a great job at this. But right now, though, I don't know that I'm the only, I think I'm probably the only host really bringing this up in a serious fashion. Others are like, oh, Sam, they just do it all the time. I know, but it doesn't make it right. And I know, but we should stand against it, right? That's kind of where we are. Anyway, bottom line, any final thoughts on that, Eldon?
Well, one of the outgrowths of this related thing is the reason that Trump, I think, did a lot of these executive orders was because he found very quickly that the Congress wasn't going to go along with him, especially his first 2 years. He was working against Republicans who like to talk very good game, but once they got in office, they really were not serious about what doing and delivering. But Trump was.
True story. And you know what? All presidents feel like their agenda is stymied and they've got to get a move on and get it done and keep campaign promises and la-da-da-da-da-da. And I get that. I also get, though, that they violate the law when they do that. And, you know, I appreciate your good intentions, but the road to heck was paved with. Anyway, I go on. All right. What do you think, Sheriff? Any final word on this?
Yeah, I think it's one of the things that's destroying our Constitution, and the destruction equally belongs to the Republicans and Democrats, and their lack of concern for constitutional propriety, and it's just amazing. And I also want to congratulate Eldon on his new position, and also a question, Eldon. Have we ever met?
Down in Sioux Falls when he came there.
That was
a few years back.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right,
there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Now let's talk about, though, we kind of, you know, highlighted the conservative executive orders, primarily Biden, but Trump too. We just got to be fair, but we also need to talk about Trump's accomplishments for President, Eldon. And people are putting together long lists of these accomplishments, thank heavens, because Joe Biden took them all off of the White House website now, so I'm glad people are preserving them elsewhere, sir.
Yeah, one of the things, of course, Trump is probably one of his best accomplishments, I would say, is he didn't get us into any new wars. The consequences of that are probably going to be felt for generations, because for years and years, presidents have gotten us into more and more wars, and the money, the loss of life, the breakup of families, all the negative consequences of these wars have been felt. And so that's actually a great thing that it's kind of like he did something or he lacked doing something that many had done in the past. So I just want to put that one out there. Lifting the regulatory burden and the taxation burden has been quite a significant thing, I think, trying to get businesses just unleashed to produce. And that's been a big boon to our economy. But unfortunately, Biden's been able to undo some of that. That's certainly a good thing that Trump has been able to do. The border wall regulation, you might say, trying to control massive immigration. Now, I'm not against immigration, but trying to at least make sure that immigration is not used for political purposes, trying to overturn our system of government, as the Democrats have largely done, and some of Republicans as well, tried to do. That's certainly a good thing. So that's kind of a start.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of things President Trump has done that are really, really, really noteworthy and good. And Eldon and Sheriff Mack, I just emailed you an article from WND.com, WorldNet Daily. Hundreds of Trump accomplishments finally put into a single list. And our buddy Art Moore over at WND wrote the article. Now, here's what happened. He pointed to the website, on the White House website, and he said, hey, here's all the accomplishments that Donald has put together that he's accomplished. And then they say, but it'll only be up till next Wednesday. That was the, you know, inauguration day there. And then they say, but we got a PDF of it right here, because they knew that it would be taken down. Highlighted that reality. It's already down on the White House website, but it's preserved by WND.com. Sheriff, you want to respond to that one?
Well, you can't be surprised by that. And, you know, the whole thing of the Democrats, the reason that they've impeached him before and the reason they're trying to impeach him now, even after he's out of office, is because he's made them look bad. They're extremely vindictive because of that. If he had been another George Bush, either one, the senior or junior, there would have been no problem, because everybody, they're really mad when people don't unify with them, which means you start being like them, and the Democrats never compromise. They don't go back and say, well, maybe we could compromise this and reach across the aisle. They only reach across the aisle if they get people like John McCain to come and join them. and Lisa Murkowski in Alaska. If you'll reach out and come to them, then they call that reaching across the aisle and unity and working together. There's no such thing as that with the Democrats. It's you come and do it our way. That's the only way you unify with them. So Trump here comes out against abortion, makes it a real issue for once from the White House. Here he comes and creates the best economy for minorities that the Democrats have preached and preached and preached that they would do and never have done. And he makes this, that's probably, as far as the Democrats go, the biggest accomplishment of Donald Trump. He made them look stupid. He made them look like liars. He made them look like they, and the truth of the matter is, that they don't care about poverty or minorities, which they never have. They just like to pontificate about how they take care of minorities so that they'll keep voting for them. And Eldon's absolutely correct, alluding to illegal immigration. They want those people here to vote and monopolize the Democrat Party across the country. And that's exactly what has happened. They're willing to risk national security to open those borders. And it is a huge national risk. Trump, on the other hand, did just the opposite. Trump, on the other hand, said that we would become energy independent. And for the first time in five decades, we are. And now, of course, Biden, with a stroke of his pen, is undoing all of that. And that's, a national security disaster, as well as an economic disaster. And so when you make the Democrats look bad, of course, they're going to try to impeach you every other month.
And amen exactly to that reality. That so WorldNet Daily, Art Moore, yeah, points to this, a couple of the things. Economic boom, tax relief, deregulation, fair trade, energy independence. That's all they highlight. But I want to highlight my favorite thing President Trump has done. And that is two things. One, pro-life. Richard Mack already highlighted it, but I really think that's one of the biggest things ever. And under Donald Trump, he was the first president to speak at the pro-life rallies that happen every year. Under Biden now, I guess they had to shut down the physical one, and they're only going to do it virtual this year. So if that doesn't give you any indication, I don't know what will. But the second one, and I think just as important, is Donald Trump really stood up for not jettisoning your religion at the government school door. President Trump boldly stood up for, you have the right to pray in school. You have the right to bring your Bible. If you want to have a Bible study or a Bible club or read your Bible at lunch or whatever else. And so President Trump really made a big deal about, hey, you don't lose your religion when you roll into the government schools. Now, I reject the government schools entirely. Different topic. But my point is, though, he stood up for religious liberty big time as well. And that'll be obliterated under Biden. Eldon.
Yeah, he was standing up really openly for Merry Christmas, and let's recognize the importance of God and morality in the public sphere. To his credit, he's done so much in that way, and certainly there's many people in government that just want to get rid of that and say it's irrelevant or maybe even bad just to talk about religion, right?
Amen. So Richard Mack brought up his favorite things. I brought up a couple. Eldon's next. Ladies and gentlemen, Richard Mack and Eldon Stahl and Sam Bushman on your radio.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal. One aim, a strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q, The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q, The Calm Before the Storm, available on Amazon.com. Or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, good chair. Richard Mack with us from the road. Eldon Stahl with us. Field coordinator for the John Birch Society. And Sam Bushman. Breaking down the whirlwind that's happened over the last couple of weeks from the violation of the checks and balances by both presidents to executive orders that are unconstitutional to accomplishments by President Trump. He has accomplished a lot in 4 years. He never got to be a two-term president due to vote fraud, in my opinion. Nevertheless, Eldon Stahl, what do you say about his accomplishments, though? Do you have a favorite few?
Yeah, I'd like to highlight three things that can never be taken away from Trump's accomplishments by executive order, by law, by judicial fiat, anything like that. And they're educational in nature. Three things that Trump pointed out that have made people much more aware, I think, to their advantage in America. One is the existence of what he called the deep state, the idea that there's people behind the scenes and that they're doing things and machinations to undermine our liberty. That's kind of a new idea for many, but something that the John Birch Society has been making people aware of over many years. But finally, Trump has been kind of at least,
yeah, they've been doing it for as long as you and yes. I have been alive, huh, Eldon?
Yes, and longer, yeah. but it's something that at least now the average person, many people recognize to at least some degree the idea of what Trump calls the deep state. Very positive change in outlook for many Americans, so we can talk about these things in a much more, you might say, open, intelligent manner rather than just name calling or something. Another one has been talking about the push for globalism, as Trump has called it, or the importance of putting America first in our foreign policy, rather than just saying, okay, let's just have everything taken over by international organizations, including the United Nations. He didn't call for getting out of the UN, but he got us out of some UN things, which is certainly a step in the right direction. And many people are becoming much more aware, compared to when the Bushes and Clinton was president and Obama, that, hey, you know, globalism isn't necessarily such a positive thing. You can put a positive spin on it, but if it means overturning our independence, not so good. So that's been really good. And Trump pointing out that the media, much of the mainstream media, is, as he put it, the enemy of the people. They're acting as propagandists. They're trying to push all this fear about COVID and so many other things. And so people are looking more and more toward alternative media sources, something that they can actually trust rather than something that's just going to have some agenda that's going to be to our disadvantage as citizens and people that want to be a free people. So those things can really never be taken away from Trump.
Amen to that, and that's great news. I also kind of find it interesting how you've got two groups. Well, there's three groups of people, right? There's the Never Trumpers, and they hate Trump and want to down Trump at every turn, even no matter what he does. They want to just diss on the Donald.
Yep.
They're the never Trumpers, and they've got these Trump derangement syndrome for sure. Then there's the always Trumpers. And I submit to you that they have Trump derangement syndrome, maybe even worse. It's hard to tell. But they're always Trumping. If you ever bring up anything that's not total Trump, then you're somehow like an enemy. And you are disloyal. You're going to ruin the country. I mean, I don't know what they go to, but they go to extreme levels, the always Trumpers. And then there's a few people. This is probably the smallest segment of the population that are like me. And what I do is I simply look at a principle based on the Founding Fathers' educational, you know, teachings, Federalist Papers, Anti-Federalist Papers, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Scriptures, the Declaration of Independence. You know, I use all these sources. And then I look at a principle and say, hey, if they're on the right side of the principle, I praise them. And if they're not on the right side of the principle, then I disagree with them and I articulate why I'm disagreeing or why I think it ought to be different. And I point out in every case, to the best of my ability, what I believe the solutions should be or are, because I believe that's the most civil but appropriate way to kind of go on record. I do my best to stand with principle every time. And then it doesn't matter. It's not a matter of Sam being right. It's a matter of hopefully Sam's on the right side of history, on the right side of principle, on God's side, whatever you want to, you know, however you want to articulate that, depending on the situation. Fine. I bring this up, though, because it seems to me that now that Trump's even left, people still have this ideology of always Trumper, never Trumper, or the few of us say, I'm going to give credit when credit's due, and I'm not when it's not. And Sheriff, you want to start there?
Yeah, for sure. I think you've hit it right on the head, and I really liked Eldon's list also. It was fantastic, and it brought out some of the things all of us have been fighting against for a long time and trying to make the world and especially the American people wake up to. But you know, you're right, Sam. The Trump derangement syndrome has gone both sides of the scale to extremities that really are unreasonable. And what I think we've done on your show for the last 4.5 years, Sam, is that we've pointed out where Trump was wrong and that he was misguided. But we also pointed out where he was unique and doing things that, for once, a politician making a promise actually tried to keep his word. And that's been unique about Trump. And it was the reason that so many people voted for him. It was the reason I voted for him, because he shoved it in the face of the John McCains and the Nancy Pelosi's, and he shoved it in the face of mainstream political correctness on both major parties. He also shoved it in the face of the media, and he called them out, and he called out the deep state, and he pointed out the deep state, just as you pointed out. And I think that he was brave in that. And just as he said in his farewell address, he didn't always take the easy way. He didn't always take the way that, oh, well, I might get criticized for this, so I better not do it. He didn't care about the criticism or the disdain from the media or the left or even his own Republican people. And that's why I admired him, and that's why I voted for him.
Yes, and I think oftentimes, too, we've given him the benefit of the doubt. When he's done something that's not quite right, we've said at least the principle's right, even if he may not be going about it in the right way. Or oftentimes we'll say, you know what, maybe he hasn't accomplished. And I'll give you an example of this. Just, I don't know, three or four minutes ago on this show, Eldon was speaking and says, hey, you know what, President Trump didn't get us out of the UN all the way. Of course, we would love it if he would. Don't misunderstand me, but he didn't. But we're not here to beat him up for that. What Eldon was saying is, but he's done his very best to dismantle certain things within the UN. So this is an example where, you know what, a lot of people might criticize him and say, well, he didn't do this and he didn't do that. We're trying to find ways to give him credit for what he did do, even if it's not as much or as detailed or as finite as we would like. Eldon, I think that's an important point to mention as well about President Trump. We've given him the benefit of the doubt whenever we can.
Yeah, and particularly with the UN, of course, it would take an act of Congress to get out of the United Nations. So President Trump would not be able to do that himself. But, yeah, he could get us out of certain things, which he did. So certainly give him credit, right? He's been overall quite good. I could raise a couple of criticisms on things that I disagreed with him on. Overall, it's been a breath of fresh air compared to so many presidents in the past. Trump has been breaking the mold in many ways. And, of course, that's why so many of these people just despised him, wanted to get rid of him, wanted to be so vindictive and petty toward him. And that's what we're seeing, I think, overall with this new impeachment thing is just trying to rub salt in the wound or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, they want to make sure that he loses control of the Republican Party so that others like Mitch McConnell and crew can step into the mix. One of the things we need to consider, though, is the importance of Congress, how to get a constitutional Congress. You know, a lot of these things that we're worried about Joe Biden doing, if Congress had a backbone and didn't let the president seize power and steal power from their legislative body, et cetera, if they were willing to stand up with a backbone, we wouldn't be really near as concerned if we had proper representation in Congress, Eldon.
Yeah, that's right. You know, over time, what's happened, unfortunately, it's to our detriment as voters, is Congress has given away, ceded, delegated authority to all kinds of different locations that they never should have done. And that's really to our detriment. It's to people that are less accountable to us. Congress has, you know, we talk about co-equal branches so often. That's really a myth. If you look at the Constitution, the longest part in the Constitution, in the original four pages of the Constitution, is the legislative branch. That's Congress. And that's the people that are the most accountable to you and me. They have power to declare war, to pass laws that affect all of us, to spend money or not spend money. They could end the Federal Reserve. They could get us out of the UN. They could create or abolish federal courts, abolish the bureaucracy. Can you imagine? Of course, if there's a shooting match between the president or maybe it's even the Supreme Court, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, if there's a shooting match and disagreement, ultimately Congress can impeach and remove those people. So they have Congress really has the trump card, but They've petered away so much stuff to our detriment that we've got to get them to really take back their power and use it.
Sheriff?
Well, Eldon...
Uh-oh. You still there, Sheriff? Uh-oh.
Okay.
All right.
I think he calls back in.
I think we lost the sheriff. I'll have him call back in. We're at the end of the hour, this hour anyway. I think we really need to kind of realize that Congress does have a responsibility. Congress does have an obligation to jealously guard their, their jurisdiction of power, their zone of authority is what I might call it, their constitutional provisions. Sheriff, I was mentioning Congress has a responsibility to jealously guard their authority.
Yeah, they do, and they've failed miserably. And so many of them act like the president is a dictator. He is absolutely not. And he has very little power. Where he has power, it is universal. He has very limited power, but so does the judicial branch. And you're right, the Congress is the one with the most broad power.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's the end of the hour. We'll come back. Sam Bushman, Eldon Stahl, JBS.org, Sheriff Mac, CSPOA.org. And we've got a lot more to break down, ladies and gentlemen. I believe this has been an educational hour. An hour where we've given credit where credit's due. Is there any credit that Biden should get for anything ever? Will be the question as we kick off hour two on your radio. Does Biden ever get credit? Will he ever get credit? Will we ever agree? Will we ever? Let's talk about that, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll do so in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live. I'm Sam Bushman. And Sam Bushman, Richard Mack, and Eldon Stahl, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.